prayer again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The second talk is just actually a lot of practical considerations and reflections based on kind of the theological things we were reflecting on in the first talk. And so just wanted to kind of throw them out kind of in a potpourri sort of fashion, I guess. There's not a real particular structure to them. But first of all, what I wanted to think about is the people who are on the sort of, putting aside the people who are completely unevangelized for the moment. We talked a little bit about that in the first talk. Now we're thinking about the people who are kind of circling around the church, who have, are maybe coming to Mass, somewhat, or checking it out, or thinking about joining the church, or are weekly, they go to Mass every week, but they are not necessarily, they're looking for something more. And I wanted to think about the role that we play. So now, again, as I said in the last talk, there are so many ways to evangelize the world beyond the structures of the parish, beyond the things that the parish is doing. Right, so we're not just focusing on that, but as we think for a moment about the stuff that's happening at our parishes, I think it's important to realize a couple things, and I want to kind of challenge and urge some of us to think about the ways in which maybe we are already, or maybe that's a call that some of us do have to become more engaged in the parish activities. As we think about those people that are kind of on the circle, on the outer edge, looking in, but maybe wanting to come in, I think it's important for us to remember or think about the fact that there are a couple of different types of people in that situation. There are a lot of people who are looking for an opportunity to volunteer and do one thing for an hour. And there are a lot of people in our parishes and in our communities who, if you say, hey, would you run, or would you participate in parish council? It's a 3-year commitment, and we meet monthly for 2 hours or an hour or whatever. They would run as far away as possible from that. They would say, I don't even know what you're talking about, la, 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 I'm not hearing you right now. But if you said, we're unloading the food truck on Thursday at the St. Vincent de Paul food giveaway with Catholic Charities at the bingo hall, they will be there, and they love that. And that's good. That's a great thing, right? Helping facilitate and provide opportunities for people who are in that situation is a good thing. And parishes should be doing that. Catholic organizations, I think, should be obviously doing that, providing ways for people who their first contact or their first experience with service is done or happens through a one-time thing, a sort of, I work for an hour, and I do something, and then I go home. And we need to be looking for ways as parishes and as communities for ways to provide people with those opportunities. So I think sometimes what happens on the negative side of that is we kind of look down on that, or we're like, oh, these are the people that only, these people aren't willing to take the next step. No, they're taking the step that they need to take right now. That's the step that they're ready to take, is that action. So we need to be, I think, looking for ways to provide people those opportunities. And I think we do at certainly our parish, but the parish I'm at, all of the different organizations, everybody's really good about that, I think. But as communities, we need to work at that. The next group of people, though, I think is also important. I think the failure with this group of people is we fail to distinguish them from the first group. And that group of people is the people that have maybe been doing the one-time event and hey, I need help with the flower bed. Okay, I'm in. I'll be there because I can go home. I never have to worry about it again. And they come to that. There's the other group of people who are looking to maybe take the next step and grow a little bit deeper in their service. in their participation in evangelizing, whether that's, again, through the parish or through the structure. And again, I think we fail a lot of times as parishes to distinguish that group of people that is looking to get involved, right? That is looking to take the next step beyond the one-time event. And I think what we need to do with those people is we need to recognize that they exist, and we need to be looking for them, in a sense, and being and paying attention. So if I'm part of an organization, if I'm part of the a retreat or Convention of Paul or whatever other groups there are that are in our parishes, I need to be looking for and thinking about, as a layperson, who are my fellow parishioners and my co-workers or other people that are maybe looking to and want to be invited in to the next step, which is a step that involves, I think, what the people in that stage are looking for is, I want to be invited in to help collaborate with whatever it is that we're doing. I want to kind of be involved a little bit in planning something and helping participate in that kind of thing. I want to be involved in some kind of weekly or monthly or every other month gathering of people, right? So often it's like once we get our groups formed or we have these various groups in the parish that are up and going, we oftentimes distinguish them either as you're either in the inner circle or you're that one person that we call when we need the flower bed arranged, right? You're either in the inner circle or you go over there and deal with the food truck and we'll call you when we need you. Right? You're either in the inner circle or you're that person that we just call when we need cheap labor. You're either in the inner circle or we'll call you when we need a cake for the funeral. We don't distinguish the people that are, there are people who, for lack of a better word, want to be in the inner circle. And are we inviting them into that? And the way that we do that is by not just calling them and saying, we need a cake, we need the truck unloaded, but instead to be invited in to say, we'd like you to participate with us as we make decisions, right, as we do things. We want you to be there. Because no matter what you say to them, even if you say, yeah, okay, come to our meeting, but if they're not being invited to collaborate, they're still being treated as the person who you just call when you need manual labor. Right? And so what those people view that as is, well, you know, they say they want me around, but you know, I'm not being invited. It's basically a lot of times people will call and say, hey, we've made the decision as the inner circle on this particular thing, and now we need you. And people are like, well, I want to be a part of that. I'd like to be a part of that. And there are people who are really needing that and want that and deserve that. Right? It's kind of wrong for us, in a sense, basically, to have within our parishes and within our groups, and that's not just parishes, right? Within all of our organizations, right? Whether it's, you know, the things that are going on here, you know, or the things that are going on at CYO, or the things that are going on at wherever. We need to be looking for and actively recruiting and thinking about how do we find people that can replenish and nourish and participate in the inner circle. Because a lot of times what happens is in parishes, I've been in parishes, you know, there are lots of different parishes, I'm not just saying the ones that I'm in, it's like all of a sudden, you know, no one's been invited into the inner circle of the group, and then 25 years it's been the same group, right? And then they're mad because no one else is joining. But you're not inviting anyone. You're only calling everyone else in the group or in the parish when you need a cake, right? When the truck needs unloaded, that's the only time they're getting a call. Why would they join and want to, you know? So we have to be, I think, looking for, as we think about these efforts in our parish, these volunteer opportunities, right? I think we need to be looking for and be actively on the lookout for who are these people who would like to join and participate at a deeper level and in the decision-making process of our group, our organization, et cetera. Because that's part of evangelization. A lot of people, as we know, it can be, like I said, it's a great first step to unload the truck, and that puts them in contact with the poor, or that, you know, making the cake is a great thing, it helps people feel like they're in service. But we all know that participating in a group at a deeper level is more evangelizing to that person that's participating. We pray there more, there's friendship that's developed, it's not just a one-time thing. There's a lot of ongoing formation that happens, but you have to invite them, and you have to make them feel welcome. You have to make them feel wanted. And so I think we have to make sure that we're not grouping all volunteers into one group. You know, it's not just the inner circle as it exists, and then all of our manual labor. I think another thing that we need to do is, I think a lot of times what I hear as a pastor is you hear things like, again, like I said, when you ask somebody to run for parish council, you know, or someone else, it's like the plague, right? So we're announcing this week, you know, that this is the week, actually, I think at least one of my parishes, where we are, you know, this is the dreaded, people start calling each other and saying, hey, I think you'd be great on parish council week. And I get the sense, you hear from people, right, that parish structures like this, or structures within the church, again, because we're talking about not just the parish, but certainly it's probably most of our experience with this. But within this call to evangelize and bring the good news of the gospel to other people, there are structures involved in that, right? The parish, there are councils, etc. And it's interesting that there are so many people. I mentioned one rector's conference that I had in the seminary. The other one that touched me that I always remember in a very profound way is when Father Mark O'Keefe gave a talk about, he said, I talked to a lot of guys that come back to the seminary that have been priests for a while, and a lot of them say something to the effect of, I didn't get ordained to do finances. I didn't get ordained to do parish councils. I didn't get ordained to do this and that, and all these menial tasks and little things like that. And Father Mark O'Keefe then told us, he said, and you know what, basically what I tell them, and kindly and gently, is who cares? And I always go back to that as a pastor, right, on a daily basis. And he went on to talk about fathers and mothers don't get married to change diapers, right? Fathers and mothers don't get married to balance the checkbook. They don't get married because those are not what they're picturing on their wedding day, right? Talking with, come back to them in a minute, but I have some Focus missionaries at DePaul University. Focus is a national organization. They're doing amazing work. They send recent grads back onto college campuses to evangelize. A new study came out saying that up to 92% now of Catholics stop practicing their faith in college. And so I was talking with one of our missionaries, and she's really struggling, and she was like, this is her first year, and she's right out of college, and she was just kind of sharing, you know, that this is a real struggle for me. I didn't get ordained to fill out. They have, you know, speech and reports they fill out about, you know, I had, 23 contacts this week, and, you know, I had this sort of name of a person that, you know, I think might be ready to go to another level of discipleship, et cetera. And she's like, I didn't become a Focus missionary for that. And I told her, you know, again, very kindly and gently, I know you didn't, all right? And that's part of it. And I think that one of the things that I think about, you know, so many people say, you know, oh, finance council, parish council, structure this, you know, that group over there, you know, if nothing happens important, you just call me when you need a cake. I was sitting there thinking, actually, this year at midnight mass, right beforehand, at one of my parishes, and the choir was singing, and it's beautiful, you know, that 11:30 to midnight time, where all is right with the world and everyone loves their priest. It is. It's like an hour and a half, you know. Every year, midnight mass, like everybody that's normally like, why did you do that? They're like, hey, Father, God bless you. The choir is singing, and the church is beautiful, and the lights were on, and, you know, and everyone was there, and the heat was on, and we had books in the back that we were handing out to people, you know, as they left. And thinking, this stuff all happens because of the parish council meetings, the finance council meetings, the meetings with the choir director, the meetings with all the things, and all the thousand things that I didn't get ordained for, those things took place this year, power here. This wouldn't happen without all of those other things. And so what I want to say is, I think, importantly, what we need to remember particularly as well is that these things are necessary. Some of us are called in the evangelizing effort of the world to be people who sacrifice. It is, in some sense, more enjoyable to literally hand the food to a person, right? To see that in another person's eyes. And that's true, and we need to always be doing that. We never need to completely pull away. But some of us have gifts and talents and leadership abilities that, while it's not our first wish in life, what God is asking us to do is to say, hey, would you be a part of something that will help be a catalyst or provide a structure from which the rest of this stuff can take off? Will you be a part of planning things and doing the drudgery of balancing the checkbook or doing the finances or having the meeting or putting together the agenda or sitting through some of the things that are not ideally thought of in terms of evangelization and mission? Will you be willing to sacrifice your desire to be on the front lines, to stand back and say, I will participate and help plan things and help make sure things are happening so that other people can then be out there doing that sort of thing? I think in a lot of ways that's what a priest is called to do, right? To make sure that a lot of things in place are in place so that the parishioners are then able to go out and be on the front lines, right? Again, midnight, that image of midnight mass will be with me now, I think, for the rest of my priesthood. You can say, oh, parish councils are stupid, finance councils are stupid, it doesn't do anything, it's all politics. Which I always hate that phrase, too. It's all politics. But yeah, that's because anytime you get two people together or more, that's what happens, right? People, politics, right? That's what the word means. So yes, getting a group of people together, some people are better at convincing others and know people more than others. Who cares, right? It's okay. But yes, it's political. Sometimes it does come down. Things in life happen based on who you know. And some people know more people. It doesn't matter, right? It's okay. It's part of it. It's a human process. So get involved, you know, in those things that we initially want to write off or say, you know, oh, I don't do that. I just call me when you need real work done. Well, the real work, that's part of the real work, right? Doesn't happen without those kinds of things. Mother Teresa founded, I don't even know how many houses, hundreds of houses around. That didn't happen without meetings. That didn't happen without finances. It didn't happen without budgets. It didn't happen without agendas. Mother Teresa didn't just walk around the world and say, nope, sorry, I don't have any time for that, but just go start a house. So, I mean, there's permits, there's buildings, there's all that kind of stuff. So maybe God's calling you or inviting you as a layperson to recognize that you have particular gifts and talents that are able to be sacrificed for the sake of others so that others who are more on the outskirts and are looking just for something more to do, you might be a catalyst for that. And many of you are already doing that in your parishes and in organizations throughout the church. I think for those of us, to continue that a little bit further, another point of reflection, I think if we are called to be people who are leading these types of efforts in the church, the meetings and so forth, I think a challenge for us is to, if I'm recognizing my role as a layperson of empowering other people and bringing the gospel to other people, a lot of us, I think, could really use, myself included, somewhat frequent contact with, like, good leadership literature on how to manage and work with people. Going back to my rector again in the seminary, he was always reading one book on leadership. And I think that's so important to realize just how people work. A person I highly recommend is a man named Patrick Lencioni. I think I'm saying his name right. He is a Catholic. He actually does a lot of work with Focus, and he's one of the most well-published and well-known some authors on leadership and how to work with people and manage people. And I think when we think about our role in that, we need to recognize that if we're taking on that role of, you know, getting involved in the inner circle of things, then I need to study up and become more well-versed in how it is that I lead people. You know, it doesn't work as a pastor to ever walk in and just say, this is what we're doing. You know, we're doing it this way. Somebody said once, you get maybe one a year of those. And so I've been saving mine up. But the vast majority of time, it doesn't work that way. So whether you're, whatever, you know, group you're with or organization you're with or a small group of people, it just doesn't hardly ever work where you just come in and say, we're going to do this, right? So how do we lead people? How do we manage people? How do we help, you know, in that area? There's so many good things, and I think we hardly do wrong. It's one of the few sections, I think, of a bookstore, a non-Catholic bookstore, where you're safe just buying anything and reading it. And that is that, you know, that place on management, business leadership, and so forth. But again, if you're looking for someone, Patrick Lencioni, you're in good hands with him. I believe his last name is L-E-N-C-I-O-N-I. I can give you that. If you need that afterwards, I can give you that name. But he'd be a great one to look at. I think just looking at meetings, you know, leading, if you're in charge of leading a meeting, leading a good one, making it short. You know, making a short meeting that people want to come back to, having a plan, having an agenda. If the meeting doesn't need to happen, don't meet. You know, kind of thinking through those kinds of things, because that's the role that sometimes some of us are asked to play in the laity. A second to last point, two more points here, is I think an important question for us at the parish level, and also in all of the evangelical efforts, I think, that we undertake, the efforts to bring the gospel to people, the efforts that we undertake as the laity. The question for me with regards to particularly, again, thinking about the parish, is, I think a question we all need to be asking is this particular endeavor sustainable? Is it sustainable? And if it's not, what do I need to do to make it sustainable? And what I mean by that is, what do I need to do to make the organization or the group that I'm a part of something that will continue on? There are certain things that are meant to spring up for a moment and be a short-term, you know, group that needs to happen and to get something going, and then it goes away. We're at St. Paul's, and we had one at the Capital Campaign Committee. We're doing one now at St. Paul's, and so the Capital Campaign Committee has been going, you know, doing a lot of great work for a couple months, but then it'll come to an end. But the vast majority of our efforts, I think we need to always be asking, are they sustainable? And so again, you know, that gets back to that question of, you know, are we inviting people? You know, are we bringing people in and allowing them to collaborate with us or not? Think about all the things that are going on at the few parishes that I'm at that are, I think, sustainable. And what I mean by that is, if the worst priest in the world came in, they would still be okay. And an argument can be made that the worst priest in the world is already there. But the things that are sustainable in the sense that they don't need Father. Or if you're leading something, what do I need to do in order so that this thing can happen and they don't need me? And so, you know, Legion of Mary at Annunciation. I haven't been able to get to a meeting in 2 years because they meet the night that I teach RCIA. They meet every week and are doing amazing stuff, bringing communion to people and going out, and they're actually knocking on doors some and doing great stuff. Our choir, our ladies' guild, our lady knights, the Knights of Columbus of both parishes, the St. Vincent de Paul Societies of both parishes, Catholic Radio, none of those things are all going, and those things don't need me. Don't need the priest. The catechesis, the handing on of the faith to our children and to our young adults and so forth. John Paul II said this about the importance of catechesis, talking about the laity. He says, these people, they have a task that carries great importance. and animating church community. It goes without saying that Christian parents are the primary and irreplaceable teachers of their children, a task for which they are given the grace by the sacrament of marriage. At the same time, we all ought to be aware of the rights that each baptized person has to being instructed, educated, and supported in the faith in Christian life. So we have this, I think, this responsibility as a parish and as communities to look at what are we doing as parishes, how is it sustainable in the ways in which we are teaching the faith to our children. It's not possible for me to be a part of that. I had an annunciation, one parish, this part catechesis, as I'm hopping in my car to go to the other parish. The other parish is doing catechesis until I get there for Mass. And so, but that's certainly a very vital thing and something that we recognize has probably been lost. We've lost a lot of catechesis and a lot of our educational opportunities through the years. So we need to revitalize that. So the laity, again, I think play a real important part in teaching the faith to one another and to our children. I think the laity, also, you know, what are we doing to nurture vocations to the priesthood and religious life and marriage? The role that the laity play in that is profound. Every priest that I know of, that I've ever talked to about this, has said the same thing. They can recall very vividly the times where lay people told them that they thought they would be a good priest. And in fact, for me, it was a great kind of thing in the midst of my discernment that I could recall when I was 23, the fact that Kelly Hannigan, when I was in fifth grade, said something to me about being a priest. And that when I was in sixth grade, my aunt leaned over to me in the midst of a boring homily and said, "You should be a priest." Being able to recall those, the lady saying that, having, you know, it's almost like I think sometimes priests need to be doing that, and I think we do. But also the laity have a great ability to, I think sometimes our young people are like, oh, Father's just saying that because he wants to retire, you know. But when it comes to the laity, it has a whole extra force to it. So what are we doing sustainability-wise to nurture our vocations? Our youth program at both parishes, we tried out this year a program called Fraternus for our young men, which has been really awesome. And we're going to do that again, and then we're also going to begin next year one for our young women called Fidelis. And it is completely sustainable. But we need, you know, we need people to continue to nurture that and sustain it and help carry it on. So sustainability in our parishes, I think if we're all looking to that question, and not just the priest, what can we all do to make sure that all these things that we're doing, if they're meant to continue, that they do. That we're putting things in place to see that that happens. I think that also involves, and then another piece, important piece of that, is having good staff in place. You know, sometimes I think the question is always approached, is like, what's the minimal staff we can have, you know, to get something done, or what's the minimum we can pay that person, you know, to get them to do what we need them to do. But staff play a really crucial role in your parishes and in our parishes today, particularly, I think, in helping ensure that things are sustainable and that things continue on regardless of leadership. And then I want to just close, so that's sustainability. And then the final point today, I'd just like to close with a thought that I've learned from my experience with Focus about the laity and about the power of bringing the gospel to other people. Focus, again, as I said, just to retouch on it briefly, young people in their early 20s who just graduated from college, and they get trained over the summer. They commit 2 years to this. They raise money from missionaries, from their family and friends to help support them as a missionary. And then they come to these different, they get trained, and then they go out to all these different universities. I think they're at about 120 college campuses this year, including DePaul. The missionaries that are at DePaul are from all over the country. And what they do is they go in and they basically try to do evangelization, try to reach out to our college students and connect them and keep them connected to the church. Now, they used something in the team director who I'd been working with for 2 years since they came, and she's been awesome. And she started sharing with me some stuff that I really feel like is super important for not just focus and college missionaries, but for all of us. And that is their model in which they try to bring people back to Christ, to evangelize, which is what we're all called to do. They based it on the three words that you might want to remember or associate with all of this is win, W-I-N, so like a victory, win, and then build, and then send. Win, build, send. And my team director was explaining to me about win, build, send. I'd like to focus mostly on win here today at the end. But they try to find two people, two students, that they just connect with well and establish a friendship with and feel an authentic and a genuine friendship with, and they kind of make those two particular students their focus. Now, they do lots of other things. They do Bible studies, they're at Mass, they do service projects, and so there's a lot of things that are done for the people who are kind of on the out. It's just kind of looking and keeping them connected. But they're looking for two people each year that they feel like God is kind of calling them to have them enter into a relationship with and to win them. But the beautiful thing about it is the motivation at first is not just, you know, like, well, I'm talking to you right now and I'm trying to be a normal human being and just act like I'm in a friendship, but I'm really trying to trick you into coming to church. That's not, although they use the word win to make it simple, there's no pressure in that sense. It's just go find people to be friends with and nurture that friendship. And it sounds like, well, gosh, you know, at DePaul, 2,400 students, 25% of them register as Catholics, meaning 600 of our DePaul students are Catholic, and we have about 60 of them coming to Mass. So we have about 10%. So we should probably do, the temptation here is to say we should probably shoot for more than two. We have our four missionaries. So Father, our job this year is to really work on eight people. Well, could you work on 592 more? But it's eight, right? And the beauty of that, what they talk about is it takes a few years for it to get going, but it starts to expand. Because you do the second thing. Once a person is in a friendship, they want to know more. And in that sense, then they begin to build the faith, and the faith begins to be built in them. And as part of that, building them up in the faith and sharing with this friend of yours, you know, about Jesus, about the church, bringing, you know, inviting them to things and not making any of it forced, but just having it be a part of the natural conversation, then those two people hopefully are then also eventually being built up enough to where they are then going out to look for two more. And it takes a while. And I wrote over here, they talk about in their language, Jason Everett is a big part of focus, so they're not putting Jason Everett down there, okay? But they talk about the mega evangelist in general. They don't use Jason's name, but most of you know Jason Everett, so I did. But if you think of Jason Everett, who every year, let's pick a random number. Let's say Jason Everett through his talks and his internet work and all of these things. Let's say Jason Everett converts 1 million people to Christ this year. And you go out and you win, and in your friendships, you win two people. Okay? Jason Everett wins. Now, but you build up that relationship. They get drawn closer to Christ. They then even become and begin to see themselves as people who are being sent out, and they go out to look for two more, and they find four people. And Jason Everett now has, in his second year, in our second year, 2 million, and you have four. Jason Everett wins. Okay? You keep going down, though, down to year 32. Jason Everett has converted 32 million and 8.1 trillion people have been converted through the two-by-two, two-at-a-time
and that's more than is on the planet. So we have even some aliens factored in here, which is good.
And so that's got me thinking a lot, you know, about who is it that's in my circle. There are, I am confident that all of you have two people around you at work or who are even good friends who have already been one to you in that sense. So you have already, they trust you, you trust them, you are friends with them. The trick for us, I think, is to recognize that, you know what, I already have the ingredients here. Now all this needs is a spark. I need to see that in the midst of this friendship, I'm in a great place to be able to go out as a layperson and invite them and bring them and show them what it is that matters to me. And to start to build up the faith, to start to build up an encounter with Christ in their lives. And then so much so to the point where eventually even saying and helping them recognize that part of being a follower of Christ is being sent, just as you were as well. And inviting them to think about, hey, just as you and I have grown in this faith and in this relationship and as things have progressed and you've come to recognize, you know, and have drawn more deeply in love with Christ, in the same way, you can go out and do that. And inviting them to do that, that's the spark. Everybody has the ingredients already, I think, in their lives, has those friendships, has those people that have already, in a sense, been won. The spark is just realizing what I need to do is be intentional about that and use those relationships. And a lot of times we're afraid, right? We're afraid of what's going to be said, how they're going to view us, and so on and so forth. But we just have to trust and know that I think what happens is when the conversation starts, when we say something that we think is going to be alienating or difficult, a lot of times people will eventually say, thank you, because I was wanting to always talk to you about that, but you never talked to me about it, and so I thought maybe I wasn't supposed to ask you about it, etc. And so, again, just to kind of recap the practical considerations about evangelization and the laity that we talked about here, I think it's important to review and understand that there are different types of people. Some are looking for a one-time sort of engagement and effort, and other people, though, are looking to invest more deeply into various structures and organizations and opportunities and groups of people. And so are we inviting those people in and allowing them to collaborate with us and make decisions with us and not just calling them when we need something? I think, as a priest, I've also recognized that councils and structures, while initially people run from them, are necessary and very important and are needed. And so maybe God's calling you in that way to help out at your parish, to get involved even amidst what looks like on a day-to-day basis sometimes not as exciting as going out and handing someone who's thirsty a cup of water. Meetings that we run, I think, need to be effective. We need to be looking, are they building up community? Are they things that people want to come back to? Do they trust us? Do they realize that we're not wasting their time, but that we are a missionary in effort, even if it is a particular meeting of the finance council or wherever, whatever group. Sustainability is so important, I think, for us in parishes and in mission. Is there ways that we can do what we're doing in a sustainable way that will continue to keep going? And then also, I think, finally, then, are we looking for those people in our own circle of influence who are already in our lives for ways in which we can come into greater contact and bring them closer to Christ through winning them over to trust us and then building up the faith in them through sharing and just through normal human relationship? And then are we helping them recognize that they too have been sent out into the world to go out and find some more? We'll go ahead and end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for coming out, and know that the bookstore is open until 3 as well. I hope that you're able to spend some more time here, and have a blessed Holy Week.